Building clients' credit score. Payment history? This is 35% of your score. It only makes sense that lenders would be most concerned about this factor and weigh it more heavily than any other single consideration. They believe that history dictates the future. In terms of their level of certainty, lenders put this principle right up there with the Earth is round theory. That night follows day, and donuts are delicious. If you're a borrower with a poor payment history, and you're looking for a new loan, you're going to have to overcome this prejudice. Now, of course, you'll argue that things have changed, that you've turned over a new leaf, and that from now on you'll do better. Depending on your own personal story and how persuasive you are, your lender might believe you. However, it will help if he's a blood relative. But it always will be a very difficult sell. For the most part, lenders just can't get past the idea that if you haven't paid your debts in the past, you probably won't start now. If you have a payment problem in your credit records, the severity of the impact on your credit score will depend on three considerations. 1. How long ago was the problem? Just know, the more recent the problem, say a late pay, the greater the impact on your score. As time passes, the impact will diminish. Again, this makes sense from the lender's point of view. If the cause of your problem is recent, it probably has not had time to go away. If your problem was in the distant past and you've paid on time in recent months, it's more likely that the cause of the trouble has disappeared. 2. How often did the problem occur? The more often the problem occurs, the greater the impact. This is not shocking, and no surprise here. The longer a poor payment history lasts, the more likely it is that it's a habit. Habits are hard to break. 3. How serious was the problem? Obviously, the more serious the problem, the greater the impact on your credit score. For example, a payment that is 90 days past due will cause a bigger hit to your credit score than a payment that is 30 days past due. If your 90-day late payments is on your $2,000 monthly mortgage payment, this will lower your score much more than if you ignored a $27 minimum payment on one of your credit cards. Among the payment history problems that are considered very serious and that can drag a score down severely are foreclosures, bankruptcies, and court judgments. How much of your available credit do you use? This is 30% of your score. This factor is also known as your utilization rate. To understand why this factor works the way it does, again you have to put yourself in the position of a lender. Lenders want to know about the character of the person they're dealing with. Whether the loan applicant is responsible, especially when it comes to managing money. A good way to measure this, they believe, is to look at how much money a person could borrow if they wanted to, and then look at how much of that total the person has actually borrowed. The reason and major factor of this thought process is whether or not you have a proven ability to resist temptation. I'm not trying to sound moral about it, but it is true. They believe, in this situation, that you are probably responsible with money. You'll probably pay them what you owe, and you'll probably do it on time. They also consider that when people find themselves in tough financial circumstances, a common reaction is to start living off the credit cards. They see high balances as a sign that something bad might have happened to your financial condition. Maybe an illness or a layoff. Needless to say, they view this with extreme alarm. So, they look at the limits on your revolving debt, your credit cards, your store charge accounts. If they see that you have a card with a $5,000 limit, and that you usually run a balance of around $1,000, they like that. They consider this a good sign. If they see that you often max out your limit on the card, they don't like that at all. They don't like it even if you routinely pay your big balance down to zero every month. Here's how this works in practice. Let's say Beth owes $5,000 on a $15,000 account. Jim owes $2,400 on a $2,500 account. John will likely take a bigger hit to his credit score than Beth will, even though her debt is more than twice as large. In the eyes of the FICO software, Beth is a better, more responsible money manager than Jim. Many consumers pay off their cards every month. Just maybe, you do this too. This might be good debt management, but there are two reasons why it probably won't help your score much. 1. Most credit card companies only report to the CRA periodically. They report the balance that exists on the date of reporting. If you run a high balance before you pay off once per month, that high balance is a number reported. 2. The companies report the high watermark on your accounts, as well as the payment history. Finally, it might be tempting to think that if you have three cards, with limits of $5,000 each, it would be safe to run a high balance on only one of them, and use the other two very little. Not so. For reasons not clear to me, the system will penalize your score for the high balance on the first card, and reward you very little, if at all, for your sparing use of the other two cards. If you want to have this factor weigh in your favor, you'll need to maintain low balances on all of your revolving credit accounts. Ideally, the balance on any card should never exceed 30% of the credit limit on that account. Now, I know that many consumers pay off their cards every month. Maybe, you do too. This might be good debt management, but there are two reasons why it probably won't help your score much. Length of credit or how long you have had credit? This is 15% of your score. This is another common sense factor, unlike the one we just discussed. If you've had good credit for 25 years, you're more likely to maintain that level of performance than someone who has only a 2-year credit history. The FICO software considers the following: the age of your oldest account, and the average age of all your accounts. There are two lessons here. 1. If you're a young consumer who wants to qualify for the best rate when the happy day comes to buy a home, act now. Establish a good, positive account history as early as possible. 2. If you have some good older accounts, and a good score, think twice about opening a new account. The new account will reduce the average age of all your accounts, and possibly lower your score. It also might be prudent to close one or two newer accounts, if you can do it without inconvenience, to boost the average open account age. When did you last apply for credit? This is 10% of your score. The impact of this factor is relatively minor, compared to those like your payment history and your account limits, but it is directly under your control and therefore deserves some attention. Generally speaking, your score can be downgraded slightly if you open a number of new accounts within a short period of time. The FICO software weighs 1. The length of time that has passed since you applied for a new account. 2. The length of time that has passed since you actually opened a new account. 3. The number of new accounts you've opened. And 4. The number of new accounts you've opened recently. The bottom line is that creditors don't like lots of new borrowing activity. They're suspicious of it because they see it as a sign of irresponsibility and poor money management skills. The key word here is new. As your new accounts become older accounts and build up good payment histories, it becomes clear that you knew what you were doing all along, and the lenders become less concerned. That's why the newness factor counts the way it does, and fades with time. Of course, now and then you might need to open a new account. After all, once upon a time, all of your accounts were new. But it's in your interest to keep in mind that when you do it, the marginal effect on your score can be negative. Consider carefully before signing and submitting that next account application. What types of credit do you have? This accounts for 10% of your score. Another borrower characteristic that lenders like is a history of using More than one type of credit. They don't weigh a mix of loan types as heavily as some of the other factors, but they still like it. Probably for a couple of reasons. 1. They know that certain types of loans, like real estate mortgage loans and car loans, require a much bigger financial commitment on the part of the borrower, and usually they involve some pretty substantial payments. 2. They know that mortgage and car loan lenders tend to delve pretty deeply into your employment and personal history, and if you survive the process, that's good. 3. They recognize that certain bank credit cards, like Visa, MasterCard, and American Express, have more rigorous acceptance standards than some of the other kinds of local or regional revolving accounts. To the extent that you have these stronger accounts in your mix, this is considered very good too. On the whole, a good mix of credit includes a mortgage, an installment loan, and two or three revolving accounts such as credit cards.